The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to the people, "Behold the man." Later, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Shame is an interesting thing. I'm sure it would be fair to say at some point in your life, somewhere along the road you have lived, you have felt some kind of shame. If not, probably a mildly psychotic, and we can talk later. Right? We've all dealt with shame. And shame is interesting because it requires a self-awareness that only sinners possess. When we've done something wrong and we're not aware of it, when we've done something in ignorance or something we didn't think was a big deal, we don't feel shame. But it's when we do something that we know we shouldn't, when we do something we know was inherently wrong, that we feel shame. It's an effect of sin. And shame leads us to hide. Maybe we physically hide. Right? You did something wrong at home, and you know your dad's going to come home and be very, very angry with you. So you hide yourself in the closet, hoping that when he comes home, he never finds you. Ever. Right? Or you try to hide what you've done. You've done something wrong, and so you try to replace it, or you try to undo what's been done, or you try to fix it, right? So you push over the lamp, and you shatter that light bulb, so you put a new one in and hope mom and dad won't notice. Right? Shame is something that makes us hide. We hide from others. Maybe we even try to hide things from ourselves. We even try to hide from God. And one of the metaphors we use to even describe this is we put on masks and we hide behind these masks. Put your best self out there and don't let the world see who you really are, where you're really at, what's really going on inside. And we live in a world that has made this infinitely easier to do just because of technology. Most of our masks nowadays are all created through our digital presence or our digital thumbprint. And it's filled with takes and retakes and poses and filters and well-crafted and edited thoughts. Anytime you take a picture, you can take it 1,000 times before you make sure you got just the right one. And you can tweak it and Photoshop it and this and that to make sure you look perfect. So the world can see that little bit of perfection inside of you that was digitally created. A couple years ago, we had one of the high school students here. She's now in college for art photography, and she took pictures of our family, and Rachel looked at the family picture and said, "How did you get them all smiling at the same time? It's impossible." This was back in 3 kids, 5 guys, I don't even know how you would. You know what she said? Photoshop. She took the good faces of each kid from different pictures and put them on one. Right? We do this all the time. Or our thoughts. We write out the perfect Facebook or Twitter comment and we make sure it's got the right grammar and the right words and the right thoughts and everything else, and we make it perfect so that the world can know our perfectly crafted thoughts. And our emails, and we go 100 times over it and reanalyze it and make sure it's just precise. Back in the day when you met people face to face and mom and dad said, "Did you take that cookie from the cookie jar?" You couldn't compose a thought. You had to act right then and there. It was harder to lie. It was harder to be someone we aren't. It was harder to be honest. And so this world obsessed with making this perfect picture of ourselves, and the pressure of that has never been higher. And so we've all fallen into this trap of lying to the world and lying to our friends and our family and even to ourselves about who we truly are. And we don't want to come to terms with who we are, and we don't want other people to find out who we are, and this pressure is literally killing us. And the problem is that eventually we all become exposed. We become unhinged, and in a fit of rage, we send out a text or a picture. Or someone else grabs our phone and they start writing things for us and posting on our behalf because they want to be funny. Or maybe even the secrets of our past are dug up. As we witness almost every day in the news that this person or that person did something 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and now it's plastered everywhere. And every ounce of effort that we put towards creating this perfect persona, this perfect me, comes crumbling down in some blazing fire. All that wasted effort of hiding and lying to this world, which takes absolutely no prisoners, in an instant exposed and destroyed. It's going to be a problem for years to come, because this has been a problem for all of human history, no matter the technology available. Adam and Eve saw each other naked, yet without sin. They could not even imagine using each other, but realized that they were made to be a gift of self to each other, as God designed them to be, as God intended them to be. And then they eat of this fruit. And now they see with new eyes, with eyes able to perceive evil, with eyes that now can see someone as an object. And in objectifying them, see them as something to be taken and to be used. And they see that even of themselves, and so they're filled with shame, because what they've done is wrong, and so they hide. They hide in the garden, hoping God won't find them, and they hide from each other by sewing together fig leaves. But fig leaves can't cover them. Fig leaves can't cover what they've done. Because the issue was far deeper than that. God enters into that moment. He enters into the garden and he exposes them. Not in some cruel fashion. Not in order to mock them or to laugh at them or to say, oh, you've messed up again. But to bring them healing. To acknowledge and help them acknowledge what they had done. To acknowledge the sin, the shame, and to bring them to repentance. See, that's a fascinating thing about shame, is it calls us to repentance. It calls us to be honest with ourselves. And we're not perfect. It forces us to take off the mask and be true to ourselves and to come to Him to deal with the shame so that He can restore us to Himself and to each other. It's a compassionate thing He does. If you've ever dealt with a sin that has been consuming in your life and you finally came to terms with it and confessed it and eventually through the pain were brought to a moment of healing, you know the compassion that this can be at a new start, at a new life. You don't have to be crushed under the weight of expectations and perfection to be exposed before God so that the one who truly sees you may truly heal you. So often we just try to sew together some fig leaves and make it okay. It's not. We need to go to God who clothes us. Did you catch that at the end? We hear the first gospel, this the offspring of Eve will be one that brings healing. And then right after that, God clothes Adam and Eve with skins. Well, where did he get the skins? Did he go to the tailor down the street? No. Where do you get skin from? An animal. And if you're familiar with animals, animals are not too keen to part with their skin. Why? A naked animal is not long for this world, right? An animal must die. Blood must be shed. Payment made for the sins of Adam and Eve to cover them. And so God takes this animal, which will pay the ultimate price, clothe his children, Adam and Eve, to cover them, to protect them, to give them life. And it is this animal, the first creature to shed its blood. that becomes a sign of a lamb once slain for the sins of the world. The lamb who was fully exposed for your sake and mine. The lamb who would bleed in order to pour his life into us and give it to us. And that's the very life we receive in the waters of baptism. As we heard from Paul, we are clothed with Christ. We put him on. It was the soldiers and the Jewish leaders that took him and were so intent on mocking him and bringing him shame and humiliation that they would expose his skin so that he would die, that they would whip him and mark him and take his flesh. And then they would mock him by shoving a crown of thorns on his head and placing that robe upon his body and then again ripping that off as they hung him naked upon a cross for all to see. His arms stretched out and pinned to the cross by nails so he couldn't even cover himself. And so there he is, bearing all of our shame and humiliation, all the times we have felt exposed. He exposed himself in flesh and blood for our sake. Behold the man, our God, who would take on flesh so he could be humiliated in such public and brutal ways. Behold the man who shed his blood in such a powerful way so that we could put on Christ and be clothed in him. Not to simply try to cover up our sins. Not to simply try to cover up our shame. But to be a new creation. To be full again. To be seen with eyes that were without sin. By our God who is without sin. To be seen with dignity and worth and value. Not because of who we are or the persona we have put out into the world. But because who he has made us to be. So don't suppress it. The shame, the things weighing on your heart, the things you're struggling with, the things you regret, don't suppress it. Embrace it. For it leads you to the cross. It leads you to a need for repentance. We must not act as if it's not there, as if we haven't really done anything that bad. We need to bring it to the cross of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I free you today from the pressures of this world. The pressure is to be perfect. Do not seek perfection on your own, but find yourself already perfected in Christ. You don't have to pose for the pictures. You don't have to take a million snapshots. You don't have to edit your thoughts or add some filter. Just come to Jesus as you are, and he will bring you healing. Vulnerable, exposed before our Lord. And knowing that he will clothe you in his mercy and forgive you all the days of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.